Monday Manor Bible study, and I have two of my favorite people, my most favorite person in the world right here on the left.
Oh.
No, sir.
Oh, I thought I had to.
And my sacred favorite person over to my right.
All right. And so, how you doing today after a long day on yesterday as we prepare for this time together?
I'm pretty tired, still tired. Okay. But I went on to work today.
Let me look and see, is the eyelashes still on?
They are still there, yes. They are still there.
Well,
Lady Kim, that was such a wonderful day on yesterday, and I want to thank you and Tom again for just always including me in these milestone moments in your life. And I tell you, I don't have any other friends. You know, he got on me because, you know, he expect that when you say something or he says something, you're supposed to respond immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said you were my best friend. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't say nothing about me. No, you know you're my best friend. Now, why you like all crazy? But no, I want to thank you guys for being so, so inclusive of me in things that really are reserved for family members. So I feel like family. Thank you, guys.
No, you are family, and we appreciate you, Reg. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all jokes aside, we're grateful for your scholarship as well as your preaching ability and the skill set that you bring, because you've been with the ministry from day one, even though you were not present physically. Mm-hmm. We talked, we prayed, and we shared, and you gave me ideas and suggestions, and you were there throughout the whole process. And so we're always glad to see you come to Memphis, and our good friend Dr. Tunstall as well. And so we just got back from the airport from dropping him off. Mm-hmm. And we're excited that we had a chance to just spend some time together. Normally this happens in January. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this was an exceptional day on yesterday with the ordination as well as the worship experience. Mm-hmm. But before we go any further, we want to have a word of prayer, because we're going to kind of change the script a little bit tonight, Lady Kim, and we wouldn't dare have Dr. Holmes come all the way from Denver and preach a sermon on grace and talk about Mad About Grace, and then bring his book, Whatever Happened to Grace. Is that the title of it?
That's the title, Thomas.
And, and not be able to kind of give us a little bit, take a deeper dive and just kind of explore the rationale from how you got started and what was the motivation from this book.
Yeah, I'd gone so many years.
Okay, before you do that,
we're gonna pray. Yeah, thank you.
All right.
I'm ready to go. I see you ready.
Yeah, we're gonna let Lady Kim lead us, because she's gonna be she's gonna move out off the scene here in a few minutes and let us.
Are they going somewhere? I don't know.
Are they going anywhere?
She's going somewhere.
Who, Lady Kim?
And the women, are they?
Yeah.
Much needed break.
So.
That's a light.
Oh, okay. That's that light shine.
Rudolph knows.
I know, right? All right. So, Lady Kim, will you lead us in prayer? And we're going to kind of spend time talking about grace and then kind of see it, how Dr. Holmes just elaborated a little bit more on about Mad About Grace. And then we'll finish up next week as we prepare for our continuation of our study in Second Chronicles.
Okay. Sounds good. Let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We lift up our hearts and minds to you in prayer on tonight. We thank you for allowing us to make it to this point through the day, a day that you allowed us to experience. We ask God, as we go into this Bible study tonight, that we glean from it whatever it is that you would have from us to
thank
glean,
you, yes,
to make our lives better and to move forward with fervor and power and grace. We thank you, O God, and we ask that you would continue to be with us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Well, thank you, Lady Kim.
And, thank you, Lady Kim.
We're going to dive right in. But, Dr. Holmes, we're certainly grateful again for your presence and for your scholarship in terms of just being able to expound on the word and then open up some some new ways of thinking about this whole topic of grace. Mm-hmm. Of course, on yesterday, you looked at Matthew's gospel, that 20th chapter, and the title of your sermon was Mad About Grace. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, the title really kind of, I was anxious to see how you were going to make that work, because I didn't know what the Mad About Grace was all about. Mm-hmm. But you opened that up and made it plain for everyone to get a chance to see. And then you brought copies of your book, Whatever Happened to Grace, with mm-hmm. you. And even though you didn't sell all of them, we're going to do a sale tonight, and people can sign up mm-hmm. if they want it, because you left me some copies
right.
that I can have available mm-hmm. for Sunday for those who missed it.
Right.
But just tell us a little bit about your sermon for yesterday, and then we're going to talk about the book.
Yesterday, I did a sermon from Matthew 20.
Okay.
And the sermon was about the parable Jesus told about the workers in the vineyard.
Right, right.
And he talked about how a landowner mm-hmm. went out and he hired workers in the 6 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Very first workers were hired at 6. He went out later and hired some at 9, mm-hmm. 12, 3, 5. And at 6 o'clock, it was time to get paid.
Okay.
And he called all the workers together and he began to pay them based on the last ones to get hired, mm-hmm. all the way back to the first ones. And there was grumbling among those first workers
okay.
who had been in the kingdom, who had been a part of the vineyard, if you will. And they got upset with the landowner because mm-hmm. he gave the same amount of pay to the other workers as he did those who started at the beginning of the day.
Okay.
It, like all the parables Jesus tells, is a parable about grace. Mm. It's about understanding grace, that God has a right to do what God wants to do mm-hmm. without having to ask human beings anything. Well, those first hires were upset. Says they begin to grumble with the landowner.
Right, right.
And I use that illustration to say so many of us grumble with God when we see people getting blessed who we think shouldn't be blessed.
Wow, wow.
And really shouldn't be getting blessed equal to the blessings that we have. Why? Because yeah. I've worked more. Mm-hmm. I've worked longer. I've done more. God, how could you possibly pay somebody the same amount of money, meaning salvation, than me? There are people who really believe salvation is in degrees. Mm. You know, you hear people all the time talking about when they get to heaven, they're going to have this, they're going to have, ooh, I know he's going to get a big mansion. Mm-hmm. He's gonna, and they're basing it all on work. So I'd gone so long, as I'm shifting to the book now, I'd gone so long being critical of how we preach and teach okay. the gospel.
Okay.
And that I thought I'd write a book about it. But I think my second book is going to be entitled Mad About Grace.
Okay. So that was not included in the book?
No. That you preached no, that yesterday. Sermon was not included in the book.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about these points that you had on yesterday, because you talked about those who are mad about grace is because they look at it in terms of the competition, I believe, was one.
Mm-hmm.
And then comparison.
Yes.
And then the compensation.
Yeah.
And go tell us a little bit more
yes.
about that.
So many people have a difficulty with grace because so many people feel the need to compare themselves to other people.
Okay.
And we don't feel good about ourselves unless I have someone lesser to measure myself up against.
Okay.
And so if I, you know, I'm okay having a new car, but I only have a problem when somebody gets a bigger car than mm-hmm. I have or mm-hmm. a bigger house. I measure my worth based on how much I make.
Okay.
And
okay.
we have so many folks comparing themselves in the church, mm-hmm. comparing themselves wow. to other people. Man, I wish I could be that kind of prayer warrior.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
wish I could preach like Pastor Murray. Mm-hmm. I really wish you know, we compare. And I think comparing is such an impediment to understanding grace. Because once you start comparing yourself to other people, I believe you become a cheaper version of yourself.
Okay.
Got to be authentically who you are, and don't worry about what somebody else
does.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael Upshaw said it's good to see both of us on together, so he's online. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
And Dr. Holmes was our special guest on yesterday. He preached, and he preached some more, and we had a great time, and he was talking about this whole topic of Mad About Grace and using the grace of God as the foundation for how many times people are mad, first of all, because they want to compare.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, because it's almost like a competition. They believe it's a competition that happens there.
Right. Yeah. The parable says those who were hired first went to the landowner and gave this phrase, which is the offense of grace.
Okay.
And grace is offensive. Most people think grace is just so wonderful, but it all depends on what side of grace you on.
Okay.
If you're the one who has worked all day long and you get the same as those who've only worked 1 hour, grace can offend you.
Mm.
And the key phrase was, you have made them equal to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what grace does to all believers. It makes us equal to each other. If we truly understood grace, I believe a lot of racism, a lot of prejudices, a lot of the bigotry that goes on in our world would be eliminated, because people would then understand I'm not better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't see myself as being that way. Number one, it's anti-God to look at other people as being inferior.
Wow.
And so if you really understood grace, really understood it. Now, Pastor Murray, you know, one of the big, big pieces of Christianity is Paul's statement to the Ephesians.
Right.
For we are saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
And not by works, saved by grace through faith, and not by works. So a lot of times we just compare and compete because we don't understand that grace isn't about any of that. It's about God's love for all people. That's the gospel message. God loves all people. John 3:16.
That's
the foundational scripture. I don't know how we miss it. For God so loved the world. Didn't say he just loved Jews, not just Christians, but he loved the whole world. And I think if we believe that, then we truly understand the grace of God.
Okay. We have a couple of comments. It's good to see Pastor Marquise McPherson on tonight as well. And I think Dr. Qualis is saying that it is anti-God to look at other people as inferior.
Absolutely.
And so many times when people are mad about grace, they don't have the complete understanding of God's grace.
That's right.
And how it's not left up to us to determine who gets what.
That's right.
But it's left up to God. And so we can't get mad at God, because God is the landowner, so to speak.
That's right.
As it relates to this parable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that so much is misunderstood about grace. And I think one of the things that people misunderstand about the concept of grace is that if I preach grace a lot, then what that means is I'm soft on sin, because I'm trying to get away out of my sins.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand, you don't get away out of your sins.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get away. I mean, you sin, you're going to deal with the consequences of those sins.
Right.
But the bottom line, why you must tell people, even when they sin, even when they fall short, they must constantly be reminded that God's love is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never going to go away. But the idea that God punishes somebody because you made a bunch of bad decisions and you want to blame God for it. No. The consequences are our actions. And grace will save us.
Okay.
But grace won't cancel the consequences.
Someone asked here, Sister Carol Taylor, is favor the same as grace?
Yeah, I think a lot of times we use favor interchangeably with grace.
Okay.
But I don't like the word favor.
Okay.
I think the word favor can be misleading,
mm-hmm.
because to talk about God having favorites or giving favor or above privilege.
Somebody
he
else.
Gives it to all people. So I don't even, the concept of favor is foreign to me, because you would have to have this hierarchy within the human structure for you to say somebody got favor. No, we all get favor every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's on all of us, but okay. It's not something separate from grace. I just think I don't like the word.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Minister Olu said, grace is God's unmerited blessing.
God's unmerited blessings, exactly what it is. But it's also God acting in God's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do with what is mine?
Okay.
Can I spend my money what I want
right.
to do with?
Absolutely.
That's what he said to the man who had the complaint. And that's what grace does. I don't have to ask your permission to bless somebody.
Right.
That's what God was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was explaining in the parable, God is free. And because God is free, God creates everything else free.
Okay.
So that we all have these free wills to make whatever decision. That's the grace of God. Because
wow.
We could be robots.
Mm-hmm.
We could be robots. God could have created a world in which he was very dictatorial. And he stood over the world and he made mm-hmm. everybody do exactly what God wanted them to do.
Right.
But God's love is so great. He said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you grace. I'm mm-hmm. going to create you free. Actually, now I'm gonna create you free, Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. But when you go out here and make a mistake, don't blame
don't
me.
Blame
I gave you freedom. I
right,
gave you
right,
grace,
right.
And you're gonna turn around now when you use it badly and blame me.
Wow!
And I think that's so much of what I see in the church today is that people want to blame God for every single thing and not take responsibility themselves.
Okay. That's good, and people are affirming what you're saying and agreeing with it, and we're certainly excited that you were able to just dig deep into that
mm-hmm.
grace,
mm-hmm.
because oftentimes, and I'm guilty of it myself, we don't spend as much time as we should
right.
helping people to understand the importance and the significance of grace, and it's something for all of us, and we cannot get into this competing. We cannot become jealous of what someone else has and how God blesses someone else.
So true.
And then we can't get into our calling and what God has called forth for us to do in terms of using our gifts
mm-hmm.
and expect compensation for what we are doing.
That's right. That's
you,
right.
You really kind of opened that up for us yesterday
mm-hmm.
in terms of working because you're saved. And how did you use that analogy yesterday?
Yeah, I think that so much that is taught in the church is that we're working to be saved.
Okay.
Yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I do this, I do that, I don't do that. Yeah, and so by the time we get done with salvation, it ain't about God.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about us. It's mm-hmm. about what I do. And so Paul is careful to say to the Ephesians, don't do that.
Okay.
Because you have nothing to boast about. So the question becomes, well, Pastor Holmes, why am I working? Well, I'm working because I'm already saved. I'm working because while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me, gave his life for me. And so the whole idea of work is about my response to God.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Kim could say she loved you. You could mm-hmm. say you love Lady Kim. But if neither one of y'all are responding to the love that
right,
you give
right,
to each
right,
other, what
right.
is that?
I know, right?
That has nothing to do. But Lady Kim loves you. Why are you working? You ain't working to get Lady Kim's love.
I know that's
you
right.
already got Lady Kim's love.
I already
love.
Got that.
I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm responding. And you have to be less than an ingrate for somebody to love you unconditionally and you not respond to it in a positive way.
That's good.
And I think that's what Ephesians 10 really lifts up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The need to respond to the grace that God has given.
Okay. Because there's nothing we can do to really earn God's
that's right.
respect or approval
mm-hmm.
when he's already given us something freely.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Pastor Murray, that's
yeah,
perfect.
Right.
That's perfect.
Because we have a right, a reason, and a responsibility once we come into a full understanding
mm-hmm.
of the grace
mm-hmm.
of God.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that responsibility, the reason piece, is so important too. Mm-hmm. The right, mm-hmm. the reason, and the responsibility. The reasoning piece that you got to come to in your statement is you got to begin to understand that that's who God is.
Right, right.
See, God has to be something other than human, mm-hmm. something greater than a human
Absolutely.
Being. And there is no human being who can really love unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start talking about a God who loves, that's the definition of a God.
Right.
I don't want no God like me.
Right.
I mean, if he just like me and do the same stuff that I do, we don't need it.
That's right.
We don't need no God like that. We need a God greater than us who's capable of loving greater than we're capable of loving. So that when we make our mistakes, we don't have to be condemned.
Mm-hmm.
He sent Christ on the cross wow. to die for us so that we would really know the extent of his love for us. That he remembered us. That he thought about us, and that as Pastor Norman said,
mm-hmm.
"Lo, I will be with you always,
that's right.
until the end of time," and yes. that's God's great promise.
That's powerful, and so we praise God for you just pouring into us yesterday. Amazing day on yesterday.
Yes.
Many came forth for prayer, and the Lord added to the church on yesterday. Two new candidates, three really,
mm-hmm.
and we praise God for that. And then on Sunday afternoon, did not our hearts burn as Dr. Norman stood and shared. And you had really already set the stage because, as you indicated in your sermon, this was really directed toward Lady Kim and Dr.
Absolutely.
Dr. Qualise, mm-hmm. in terms of them understanding their call and the grace that God has on their life.
That's right.
No
That's
competition, right. no competitiveness, mm-hmm. none of that.
None.
And it's not about trying to get compensated
Mm-mm.
for what God has given you.
That's right.
But the more we give, the more he'll give to us.
The more he'll
Is that
give,
right?
The more he'll give to us.
Right.
And sometimes you're going to get it when you don't give to
him. Right, right, right.
And that's the beauty of the God that we mm-hmm, serve. He mm-hmm. cannot be manipulated to the point that you're going to make him do something based on something you did.
You've done.
Yeah. And I think uh-huh. I think we make statements that we can somehow trigger God or make God do something. It's the same thing with prayer.
Okay.
You know, the question is, why do we pray, Dr. Murray?
Okay, okay.
Are we praying to get God to do something that God otherwise wasn't going to do?
Yeah, had we
not prayed?
Okay. That,
to me, I think we don't understand prayer is about lining my will up with God.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I don't know what God going to do.
Right,
I
right.
think I do.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever God decides to do, however long God decides to do it, prayer helps me to line myself up with God, but in no way can I make God do something that God otherwise wasn't going to do had I not prayed. And so I'm really, when I think about prayer, I really sometimes wonder if we really know that the grace of God is the most powerful force in the world. We just have to line our will up.
Uh-huh.
Lord, remove this sin from me.
Right, right, right.
But nevertheless,
not my will.
Not my will, but let your will be done.
That's good. That's mm-hmm. good. And so, and you're right on point. And prayer is a spiritual discipline
mm-hmm.
that helps us stay connected to
That's
God.
That's right. That's
and
right.
It's not that we're going to do something through our prayers that's going to pull God down to do something that he's not going to already do for us
that's
based
right.
upon grace.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. The idea that you getting God to do something that God otherwise will. I prayed for you. That's right. why you got well.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got well because of God's grace and God's healing. You prayed for me because you believed in God's ability to heal me.
Okay.
But it didn't happen because you prayed for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we
mm-hmm.
line up as a church, we pray twice a week, Monday
okay.
morning, and I know y'all do your Tuesday's inspirations. We do Friday in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in prayer, but I constantly tell our people, line your will up. Don't think you're praying because God is going to get ready to kill somebody and you got to pray to keep God from killing
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's mm-hmm. that's not.
Okay. Well, this is good. And Minister Bumi said that my service is a way of showing gratitude for God's grace on my life.
That's it. He got it.
That's good.
That's it. Good. That's it. It's a response.
Okay.
It's a response.
Okay. And so we were certainly grateful to be able to see the culmination, if you will, of the hard work and labor of two of God's choicest servants that just so happened to be at ATOP. Mm-hmm. Lady Kim and Dr. Kwali Seymour.
Yeah.
And they have worked and worked and worked and they have toiled. And it's almost like when they were trying to select the seven deacons in the early church, mm-hmm. they looked out among them to see those who were already doing
already.
The work. They were not trying to impress anybody by trying to start doing something mm-hmm. to be selected.
Mm-hmm.
And so God had already chosen these two, and I think Pastor Norman illustrated that. And so when you lay hands and when you consecrate in that manner, then it's a seal of God's approval upon the ministry and as well as the people, and it's a public affirmation of what God has already done in their lives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so hats off to Lady Kim and Dr. Qualis, and I know that the building up to the ordination is one of the highest service of recognition in mm-hmm. the church
mm-hmm.
for any individual who is, moving toward ordination. It's a declaration of service that they rendered to the
right.
Lord.
That's right. And it's a sign of grace.
Right, sign of grace.
It's a sign of grace. You know, all the sacraments that we do, all the sacraments are meant to remind us that we are recipients of God's grace. You name them. Communion.
Mm-hmm.
Who was around the table?
Right.
The one who betrayed him. The one who doubted him. The one who denied him. They all ate with him. Mm-hmm. Why did they eat with him? Because of grace. Mm-hmm. Now you come. You come. Come.
Whosoever will.
Pastor Holmes, you don't know what I did last night. Yeah, well, that's why you need to come.
Right,
come on.
Right, right.
Come on and eat communion and fellowship with Christ. The same with weddings. Weddings are sacramental. They show us the act of grace. Here are two imperfect people mm-hmm. coming together, and they're working it out so that they've been together now for 46 years. Mm-hmm. That's an act mm-hmm. of grace.
Right, right.
And I think weddings are meant to show us that. I think ordinations are meant to show us that. You're getting ready to go
the
in
baptism.
Ministry. All of it. The mm-hmm. baptism. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm dead, die. I'm buried with Christ. I'm raised to new life because of God's grace. And mm-hmm. so yeah, it was such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evening on yesterday.
All right. Well, for those of you who are just joining us, of course, this is Dr. Reginald C. Holmes from Denver, Colorado. He's the pastor of the New Covenant Christian Church Alpha and Omega Ministries in Denver, Colorado. And he's the author of his latest book, the first book entitled Whatever Happened to Grace. And so we're just moving a little different tonight. And I wanted to make sure I took advantage of the opportunity that we had Dr. Holmes to be present. You already have one person who said they're interested in purchasing the book. Mm-hmm. And he's leaving tomorrow, but he's left behind some books that we will have available Sunday. And we want to try to get him to not take any books back with him. But we will have those books available. We only have a limited supply mm-hmm. that we want to make sure that we get rid of. And so if you would want to be one of those persons to receive the book, just go ahead and type it in the comment box there so that we can make sure. And you can come by the office Sunday and receive that book. We're going to save that for you. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Holmes, tell us a little bit about what was the driving force behind this book, Whatever Happened. I don't know if y'all can see that or not. Mm-hmm. Whatever Happened to Grace.
I used to do a lot of lamenting, complaining.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That, you know, so many sermons that I listen to, you can go a whole Sunday,
mm-hmm.
In a whole Sunday service and not hear any songs, mm-hmm. not hear any preaching that specifically dealt with the subject.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a passing word on it, but nothing devoted like a full sermon.
Okay.
You know, and so I talked about it. But my sister Linda, who I start off the book telling a story about, said that she, in her first 41 years, mm-hmm. did not realize that grace was a part of the gospel.
Wow.
And how important grace needed to be taught. Mm-hmm. And we were raised in Florida, and we were, you know, in a tradition in which it was a little more theatrical than theological.
Okay.
And we wanted to make sure, I wanted to make sure that before I left the earth that I would put something out mm-hmm. that addressed my, you know, sometimes Pastor Murray, we complain and gripe about stuff,
but don't do
but that's
anything.
All we do.
Right.
And I was right. guilty. I complained and griped so long, I convicted myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that I need to put something on in paperback form to really express my deep concern about the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ says mm-hmm. every person is created equal. The gospel says that God loves all of us, and I think one of the listeners said it, that God has created all of us free.
Okay.
God is free. God creates us free. And that's what grace is all about. With grace goes freedom, but with freedom goes, you said it earlier, mm-hmm. responsibility.
That's right. That's right.
And so once we teach grace, God's going to love you forever. There's nothing that's, lo, I will be with you. Grace is going to be there forever,
mm-hmm.
but it's your responsibility. And so you have people talking about sin.
Okay.
You got to deal with sin. You got to deal with sin. Grace doesn't deal with sin. Yes, it does. Grace just said God ain't going to ever stop loving you.
Mm-hmm.
But the consequences of your sin, everybody is going to have to pay those consequences. But we don't have to turn God into something ugly, dirty, and nasty simply because people commit sin and we want to see them punished.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we got a couple of people saying they want to pick up books already. And he's left several copies with me, and we're going to make sure we, Sister Loretta and Sister Minister Bumi, we got you covered. And then if there are others, just go ahead and type it in the margin so that we can make sure that we have those available for you Sunday. It's an exciting book, and we're looking forward to. And I think Sister Minister Bumi said she's looking forward to you just talking about those fundamentals of prayer, mm-hmm. even as we discuss how important that is mm-hmm. as it relates to grace. Because prayer is not the means to get God's attention. Prayer should be the way in which we connect with God and align our will with his will.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right.
Right.
I heard one right.
Well, it gets God's attention, but it's not like we're trying to get God to do anything because we decided we're going to pray.
Yeah, the emphasis mm-hmm. becomes on changing God for
right,
so many
right,
people.
Right, right.
When in all actuality, mm-hmm. it should not be on changing
right,
God.
Right.
It should be on
us.
Changing us.
That's right. That's
because
right.
the answer to prayer could possibly lie more in us
mm-hmm.
than it
mm-hmm.
does in God. God is willing to put mm-hmm. things in our path,
right,
blessings
right.
in our path, but who's going to act on it? I remember you said earlier, Pastor Murray, that I was here from the very beginning.
That's right.
And those of you who didn't see the very beginning, you have no idea when you look at what you're looking at right now. There has been a tremendous,
major
act of faith.
And
there,
grace.
There has been prayer, but Pastor Murray has never been one to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, God, do it.
Yeah.
No, he's always worked.
Had to put some.
Yeah, you got to respond.
With that faith.
You got to respond.
Right.
You got to respond. You pray for something. You pray for a man, but you won't go out of your house. You
don't,
know,
don't
want
go there.
You,
don't
you,
do
you
that.
Want
don't
him.
Do
you
it,
want
Robert.
Him to come. Or woman. Or woman.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
woman.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And you ain't making no effort to make yourself available, or to go somewhere where you might find somebody. You know what? Well, I don't go anywhere. Well, okay. You need, maybe you need to go somewhere.
I know, right?
But there has to be some sense of effort behind everything that we pray. Pray like it all depends on God, but work as if it all depends on us. Wow,
that's good. That's good. Somebody ought to say man right there, because it's powerful and it's key for us in terms of understanding how important our spiritual discipline is as it relates to us staying in proper relationship with God.
Yes.
And that's just one of the disciplines. Mm-hmm. And God honors that. God honors our faithfulness. Right. God honors, he honors those who diligently, the Bible says, seek him.
Yes,
yes. And so we can't just lay back and decide that, well, once we get in trouble, then it's time for us to get serious about God. We have to be serious about God all the time. And absolutely, allow God to do what he does best. And we ought to get out of God's way and just be a recipient of the divine manifold blessings and grace of God.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so we're certainly excited. Dr. Holmes, many times I think people struggle with this whole thing of grace and they become mad and don't even know why they're mad.
Right.
And I think what you have shared with us thus far has really provided insight for us to understanding that God is not like man in terms of how he distributes what belongs to him.
And that's right.
He does what he does because he wants to do it, and he gives his grace to those who align themselves in the proper relationship with him.
That's right, Pastor. Mm-hmm. That's well said. And I think that I love the line.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do it my own money?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I said in the sermon, and right, I believe right, that grace is God's money.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do with my money what it is that I want to do? Can I bless whoever I want to bless? Do I have to ask anybody anything?
Right.
And I think some of us would say, yeah, you do, God. You need to ask me before you bless that rascal over there.
Before, do you see what he's doing?
You see what he's doing?
You see what's going on?
You see what
he's
doing?
Right.
And some of us get so agitated because we can't figure out why is it that people who are not going to prayer, who are not going to Bible study, you know, those sitting around doing nothing, how is it that they're going to get blessed like I'm going to get blessed? And so we have problems and we struggle when we look at people who are not working like we're working.
That's right. That's right.
But, baby, it ain't about work. It is about you being faithful and continuing to do what you need to do in order for God to continue to keep you in his will. And that's all I want to do. I mean, I ain't going to be on top all the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Things are going to be going great for me every day.
Right.
Sometimes I'm going to have some downtime, but I don't need to doubt God because I go through a difficult time. And I think a lot of times we start that comparing, you know, why am I going through and they ain't going through it? Lord, why is it that in the end, he's going
to
bless us all because we all take our turn at bat.
That's right.
I believe that's what JJ's sitcom said. Good times. We all take our turn. We all take our turn at bat, good and bad.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, are there any questions for Dr. Holmes? We have really kind of opened the door and just kind of exploring this whole topic of grace, this whole issue about how people oftentimes misunderstand the grace of God and how we get to comparing and we get to competing, and then we start looking for compensation for what we should be given freely because he so graciously gave it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a couple of questions, then go ahead and ask those so that Dr. Holmes can respond. And then we're going to, is there anything else you want to share about your book? Because we're getting close to the time for us to close.
Yeah, I think the book has what we call 12 keys.
12 keys, okay.
And each one of those keys are things that I thought are real important for us in terms of understanding grace.
Okay.
Choice and boundaries is a chapter in there.
Okay.
Anointing is a chapter in there. I love both of those chapters because I think they set the record straight in terms of, you know, how to look at what we mean when we say anointing.
Mm-hmm.
What is anointing? Jesus said, I've been anointed
mm-hmm.
by the Spirit of God. Spirit has anointed me.
Mm-hmm.
But to do what? What is the Jesus anointing? What did Jesus say his anointing was?
Right.
Preach good news to the poor. To extend grace to people who really can't do for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jesus' anointing is to set the oppressed free.
That's
all
right.
of that. But somehow we done turned anointing into playing an instrument. The anointing is being able to play an organ, it's being able to pray, it's being able to, no, it's to proclaim good news, either through works of service
mm-hmm.
or through invitations for people to join in with Jesus. But yeah, I just think that those chapters, Choice and Boundaries, Anointing, are two great chapters that jump out at me. I think you need to have the book. Pastor Murray has enough books available, I believe, that if you want to get one or two or give them for Christmas gifts,
right,
absolutely excellent gifts to give to someone, because you want people to really begin to understand the faith. We don't just want folk to believe. It's okay for us to think about why we believe what we believe.
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, let's see if we don't have any questions at this time. We're not going to try to deal with our study tonight in Second Chronicles, but I wanted to give Dr. Holmes an opportunity to come and just expound upon grace and then talk a little bit about whatever happened to grace, which is the title of the book. And this is not a book of sermons, am I correct,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Holmes? This is a really deep dive, if you will, in terms of trying to help people understand God's grace.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, do we have any prayer requests that there's another person who would like to get a book? And so, Sister Margaret Wilson, Coleman, make sure that you check with us. If you're not a member of ATOP, just go ahead and make sure that we're available to get that information so that we can get the book to you. But we do praise God for you, Dr. Holmes. What's going on in Denver? And tell me what's happening in the New Covenant Christian Church Alpha and Omega Ministries.
Well, New Covenant Alpha and Omega Ministries is continuing to do the work of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We're located in downtown Denver. And one of the things that God has blessed us to do
mm-hmm.
is to enhance our ministry as we deal with unhoused neighbors.
Okay.
And really all of the pains that are going on within community. We partner with the city of Denver, and we have been extended grace.
Wow.
In order to do a work
what you're doing,
that allows us to touch people and to make people's lives better. It's a hands-on ministry,
mm-hmm.
And I do it along with other members of our church. I get out there and try to help these families. Many of them are living in tent cities and
mm-hmm.
Going through all kinds of mental health issues, but though that's the kind of ministry we're doing right now, very hands-on, in-the-street ministry. We work with the Denver Police Department.
Okay.
And one of the things that we do with the 911 calls, which is how we get referrals, is we try to make sure that those nonviolent calls
mm-hmm.
do not go to the police. But those nonviolent calls will come to us and other groups who are working in the program, because we think that that'll stop some of the deaths that are being that are happening when police are called to situations that really do not require police response.
Okay,
so
okay.
We're very proud of that work, very proud of what we've been doing, and we are teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to people whose lives are damaged, hurting, and we're just trying to walk in his anointing.
Okay. I've noticed even today as we were moving about that you received probably two or three calls
mm-hmm.
in reference to people who were needing assistance and
yes.
needing some relief from the burden that they find themselves in.
Yeah.
Now, Denver has really, the price of housing and all of that has escalated tremendously over the years. And you've been there, what, 30 years old?
Yeah, 35.
And you can see how it's changed over the 30-plus years that you've been there.
Yeah. The city has changed tremendously. It's a very attractive city, but it is a city that has serious homeless problem.
Okay.
The cost of living is very high. There is an appeal, though, from those who don't live in Denver. There is this idea that Denver is extremely open and outgoing and, you know, plenty of pot and everybody's just celebrating.
Just happy.
And I've seen so many people in this work that I've been doing. I've seen so many people who've come to Denver on a whim and a prayer.
Okay.
And it's sad because they get here and they end up on the street. And many of them are just not equipped to deal with a city like Denver. So, yeah, some of the calls that you were listening to that I was fielding had everything to do with the work we've been doing to try to assist people. But it's like trying to stick a, you know, piece of chewing gum in the hole in the Titanic.
Right,
you know,
right,
it's just a flood after a while.
All right. Well, we're getting ready to wrap it up here tonight. And, yes, Brother Jones, we do have some extra copies of the ordination service on yesterday, and a powerful service it was. And Lady Kim is asking for prayer for the ATOP Women's Ministry as they prepare to travel to Destin, Florida for a retreat. And also Sister Jessica is asking for prayer for the city of Memphis and the Shelby County firefighters. We've heard all kind of sirens and all kind of ambulance going off even as we were moving about today. And it's just so much happening in our world till we cannot leave out the discipline of prayer and consistently interceding, if you will, on the behalf of those who have no idea. And I think Dr. Norman said it on yesterday. We don't realize the significance and the importance of the prayers of others.
That's right.
In our lives.
That's
and
right.
How important that was.
That's right.
To really get us to where we are. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody
That's right.
prayed for me.
That's
Somebody
right.
prayed for all of us. And I thank God for the prayers of my aunt and my
yes.
my mother and my
yes.
dad. And I thank
yes.
God for even those prayers that I did not know of, those who were praying on my behalf and interceding that we would move forward. And I tell you, because when you look back over how far the Lord has brought you and what he's done for you, you know, if it had not been for the Lord,
that's right.
somebody tell us where would we be. So we thank God for the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous, because indeed it availeth much.
Yes.
And so, Dr. Holmes, we're going to ask you to close us out tonight with a word of prayer.
Amen.
But before we do that, we're certainly grateful for each of those who finished the last of our Institute for Leadership training. This was our second training session. We had one last year, and we graduated, I think, 39 or 38
wow.
graduates and leaders who are prepped and ready to go. And this year, we graduated 23,
wow.
and Dr. Carly Seymour serves as the one who really kind of directs and pulls together. We call her the dean of our institute.
Yes.
And she does an excellent job with that. And Lady Kim is also mentioning prayed for Israel and Gaza and the Palestinians. And we just want to make sure that we continue to intercede on what's happening there.
Amen.
And so if there are no other prayer requests, we want to ask if you would lead us in a word of prayer. And make sure now, if you want to get a copy of the book, Whatever Happened to Grace, we have available copies, and we want to make sure that you let us know that you want one, because it's hot and it's going fast. But he's discounted the price to $20, and you go online, you won't be able to get this for $20. But it's an excellent read, and we hope that you will go ahead and let me know that you want to pick this up, and I'll have some available on Sunday. Any closing comments before you pray, Dr. Holmes?
Brother Murray, I just want to say thank you to you.
Okay.
And really to not try to sound like, you know anything great myself, but just to say how truly proud I am mm-hmm. of you and everything that you've accomplished down through the years. I'm so proud of the ATOP Church, and I know that many are tuning in mm-hmm. right now. And I want you all, and I've said it from day one, I've had to plead with you at times to really appreciate what you have. Really appreciate what you have, because, you know, we were young men at one time.
That's right. That's right.
And we are not quite where we used to be. Absolutely. So we all realize that the day's going to come where we won't be able to do what we do. And so mm-hmm. while you have him and Lady Kim, please do what you can to appreciate them, because they have done a tremendous work from beginning to end. And I am truly, truly blessed by their success. Amen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just say thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy.
Yes, God.
God, we want to first lift up those first responders. Even as I pray, I'm hearing a siren in the background.
Yes, God.
And God, we're asking you to pray for those Memphis firemen and Shelby County firemen and all of the first responders, our police, Lord. We live in a city when there is so much, both Denver and Memphis. We live in a city where there is so much going on, so much hurt, so much pain. So I'm asking you, God, to touch right now as only you can. And Lord, put those of us in position who can do something to improve the lives of people. We sometimes pray as though you're going to do it all on your own. But Lord, we are your hands. We are your feet. We are your legs. And so Lord, move on us.
Yes, God.
To do what we need to do. I pray right now, oh God, for Israel and for Palestine, for the peace, Lord, in that entire region. There is no one group more important than another group.
Yes, God.
I just pray right now, oh God, that you just bring peace in that situation. Let the Israelites know that you're not chosen. You're not special in the sense that you're greater than other folks.
That's right.
That their lives don't matter and your life matters more. We're all the same in God's eye. And so I pray for the Palestinians. I pray for those babies, Lord, who must hear those bombs raining down. I pray for those babies, Lord, who are struggling to find food to eat. Bless Israel. Bless Palestine, Lord. We can love both, Lord. We don't have to hate either one.
Thank you,
and
God.
So I just thank you right now, God, and we pray for peace. Pray, Lord, for the safety of those women who are going to be journeying down to Destin. Mm-hmm. Put a hedge of protection around their bus. We're speaking safety. We're speaking your presence. We're speaking your power and provisions as they travel to Destin. Be with them, and we pray for an enjoyable experience. And we thank you, and we love you, and we give you honor and glory. Bless the ATOP ministry through and through.
Yes, God.
Bless this pastor, Lord.
Thank you, God.
And Lady Kim, and the work they continue to do, not just, Lord, on Germantown Road, but the work that they do, Lord God, throughout this community. Touch them, Lord, to do even more. I pray for those in the church to get behind Pastor, get behind his vision, get behind his work, and do what God has called you to do. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we thank you for tuning in today, and we hope that you were able to get some information as well as inspiration from our time together tonight. And we're certainly grateful for Dr. Reginald C. Holmes, the proud pastor of the New Covenant Christian Church in Denver, Colorado, Alpha and Omega Ministries. And so we're certainly grateful for him being with us. And, you know, we're going to see him soon. And so, Pastor Holmes, we're ready to take some flights and come out to Denver. You just let us know when he wants to come.
Well, you know,
we're not going to try to drive out there now. We're going to have to get some flights so we can come out here.
Yeah, we want y'all to come in prime time,
okay,
too.
All right.
No pun intended.
Okay, all right. Well, don't start nothing. Now. It won't be nothing, but, you know, people don't know this, but and we'll close with this. You know, we always have the final word.
Mm-hmm.
You were a Laker fan before Denver had an excellent season yet last year, and you really kind of decided to jump ship on me and jump on the bandwagon of the Denver. What's the name of that team out there in Denver?
I think the Denver World Champions.
I won't say too much more. I'm gonna just go ahead and close out.
What was it? 4-0. I think you got a sweep last year. So, but no, Pastor Murray, we're looking for the 2-peat.
Okay, I think
it's pretty much gone.
All right.
It's a done deal.
Well, our time is up, and we are certainly grateful, and you'll be blessed. Until next time, good to talk to you and good to see you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.